you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, happy Labor Day. I hope that you're having a good day today. It's interesting to me that we celebrate labor in this country by not working. But I think that goes back to the roots of the holiday in this country, which came at a time when there was a lot of turmoil, actually. People were toying with communism and socialism here in this country, and the labor unions were gaining significant ground. And I think at that time there was a real need in our culture for folks to recognize the worth of the working man, because there were a lot of people who had become famously rich as tycoons, they were called. They had made enormous wealth in the Industrial Revolution, and sometimes the wealthy were treated as having lives worth living, and the worker was treated as expendable. And so, of course, workers banded together in this country, as they did in other countries, particularly in Europe. And some of those workers united essentially to try and overthrow the capitalist system that had provided them with jobs. Others simply to try and gain a greater say in providing decent pay and benefits for workers, et cetera. But the whole idea of a labor day in this country has its roots, at least as best I can tell, in the government wanting to recognize the validity of good, honest work, labor. I want to talk a little bit today about labor, because I think a lot of people have some very unbiblical notions about work. I can't count the number of people who've told me that their ambition is basically early retirement. They want to be able to quit working. They want to be able to stop. And their motive for working, obviously, is money. They want money because they want what money can buy, whether it's security for their old age, whether it is a boat, whether it is a bigger house, whether it is a nicer car. Basically, the thing that motivates them to get up and go to work is money and material possessions. Now, folks, if that's what's motivating you, you need to repent, because work is something that we're supposed to do for the glory of God. If you go all the way back to the beginning, to the creation, in Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They'll be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Then in Genesis chapter 2, you get a little more detailed description of God's creation of male and female. And it says in verse 15 that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, "You're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." Now, notice, there were things that a man was supposed to do even before the creation of woman, And even before the introduction of sin, man was charged with working. You're to take care of the garden. You're to work it. You're to exercise dominion. And both male and female in chapter 1 are charged with exercising dominion over the creation, with work. It is after sin enters the picture that work becomes so frustrating. In chapter 3, to Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." In other words, frustration with our work is something that comes as a result of sin and the curse. But work itself, not a bad thing, but a good thing. And in fact, we're given a great deal of instruction in the New Testament about the fact that we should work hard. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, says, "Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you." Paul was a tent maker, you'll remember. In chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, he says, "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody." In his letter to the Colossians, he says to slaves, that is those who are working for others, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. And anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism." Then he says to management, or to masters, "Provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven." Paul says some similar things to the Ephesians. He says, "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with those who are in need." That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Now, why do I read that? Because, folks, Labor Day is a real good time of year to consider why you go to work. Why are you doing what you're doing? Some of you who listen to this are on your way to work right now. Some of you have been at work for a while, and you're hoping your boss doesn't realize that you're listening to a sermon when you're supposed to be doing something else. Some of you are on your way home from work. Some of you are at home working. Some of you are driving a truck long distance. And I know from having spoken with some of you on the phone that you love your work, and I know from having spoken to others of you on the phone that you hate your work. But I'll tell you, whether you love your work or you hate your work, you better know who you're working for. If you're working for your employer, you're short-sighted. You need to be working for the Lord and a witness to your employer by the quality of work that you do. If your employer is a Christian, that doesn't give you the right to slack off. Unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians. I have a friend who's a wonderful Christian, and he's a businessman. And he said, "I hate doing business with Christians because they know the gospel's free and they think everything else should be too." Unfortunately, there's way too much truth to that characterization. There are a whole lot of people who think that if you're a Christian, you ought to be able to take advantage of other people. That is the opposite of the mindset that the Bible teaches. If you are a Christian, you ought to be the best employee that your employer has. You ought to be honest, hardworking, diligent, even when other people slack off. I know Christians who've been told by their bosses you need to slow down. You're doing too much, and it's making everybody else look bad. Now, folks, that is a typical union mindset, and it is bad news. It's one of the things that is making it tough for Americans to compete with overseas labor. Now, I realize another thing that's making it tough for Americans to compete with overseas labor is because a lot of the governments overseas allow their workers to be exploited horribly. Many of the people who work in China are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're being treated as virtual slaves. Likewise, North Korea. Horrible, horrible conditions for Christians in those countries. Many of them terribly enslaved and persecuted, beaten because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And yet, you know, we figure as long as it provides us with a cheap price at the local Walmart, we shouldn't ask too many questions. Why do you work? Why do you do what you do? Are you simply doing what you think is going to bring you the most money? Are you simply doing what you do because you think it's easier than some other job that might be more demanding? It doesn't require your concentration. It doesn't require you to sweat. Why are you doing what you're doing? I have the privilege of knowing a few folks who were born into such wealth that they never had to get a job, never had to go to work. Literally, they could live their entire life very comfortably from a material standpoint on the basis of their inheritance. And yet, those individuals that I know, because of their relationship with Jesus Christ, are some of the hardest working, most dedicated workers that I've ever known. I mean, putting in long hours, not just 40 hours a week, not just a union week, but working long hours, 50, 60 hour weeks, because what they're doing is not for a paycheck. What they're doing is for the sake of the kingdom of God. They're doing what they're doing in order to meet the needs of people who are in need. They're doing what they're doing in order to provide real benefit to society. One of them is a doctor. Another one is a merchant. Another one is in real estate. But all three of those folks could retire today because they didn't need to add to their wealth financially. But all three recognize that there is value in meeting the needs of other people, and that their work provides them with an opportunity to interact with people and point them to the Savior. And so again, whether your field is medicine or driving a truck, are you doing it out of loyalty to Jesus Christ and out of a desire to point people to Him? Or are you simply doing it to get a paycheck? Now, folks, I wasn't born into wealth. My dad was a preacher, never pastored a large church, never got a big paycheck, and retired to the family home in Montreat, North Carolina when I was only 12 years old. I was born late in my parents' life. Dad went on Social Security. My mom went to work at the local college in order to provide us with grocery money. And I'm telling you, we didn't have money when I was growing up. But that didn't make me want to go out and make a lot of money. That didn't cause me to choose as my goal, my ambition, that I would always make sure I had a big paycheck. When I was privileged to pastor a large church in Georgia, and God called us to start Wears Valley Ranch, I walked away from a very nice paycheck, and with no promise of a paycheck at all, moved my family to Tennessee. My son said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, if I have to, I'll go to work at Walmart, because I have a responsibility to provide for my family. But the reason we're going to Tennessee is not for a change in scenery. It's because God's given us a mission, and we're going there to start a children's home." And you see, when you're walking in obedience to the Lord, He will do whatever it takes in order to meet your needs. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you as well." you'll have food. You'll have clothes. You'll have what you need in order to do God's will. You may not have everything that the neighbors have. You may not have everything that your fleshly desires would seek after. But you'll have everything you need to do God's will. And I'll tell you something, folks. It's often far more than we could ask or imagine. God has a way of blessing His children, and I must say, the Lord's been awfully good to us. I don't take any salary from Ware's Valley Ranch, but I don't think you'll find many folks who could say they work harder for Ware's Valley Ranch, because the fact is, I love this ministry. I love serving, doing what God's called me to do in order to try and help these children get what they need for a new beginning in life. I want them to have an environment that points them to Jesus. That's what this place is all about. That's why the rest of our staff is here. That's why they're doing what they're doing. People who gave up larger salaries to come work at Ware's Valley Ranch, they came because God called them and they wanted to be obedient. I am so thankful to work alongside of brothers and sisters in Christ who are here in obedience to the Lord's calling. And I hope wherever you are today that you can say that you're there in obedience to the Lord's calling. If not, then I hope that today, this very day, you will honestly get before God and say, God, I'm sorry, I've been living for myself. I've been thinking someday I'll serve you, but meanwhile I've got to take care of business. You need to get on your face before God and say, Father, I'm sorry, my life is not my own. You show me what you want me to do. And you know, God may send you right back to the same job you were working at today, but it'll never be the same because you won't be working just for that paycheck anymore. And you won't be working just for the sake of the approval of that boss you've had. You'll be working for the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be the master you serve. And when you work for Jesus, you want to do your best, don't you? You want to do your best not to earn His love. You already have His love. You want to do your best because you're grateful for His love. And you're grateful that He loved you so much that He was willing to go to the cross on your behalf. What do you think about on Labor Day? Do you think about when you get to retire? We had to put an addition on our house a few years back because we were adopting some more children and we needed to have places for them to sleep. And so the bank came out and met with me in order to look at what we were going to do, how we were going to enlarge the house and decide how much money they could loan us in order to do that. And they wanted to know when I plan on retiring. I don't plan on retiring. As long as God gives me breath, I want to tell people about Jesus. As long as God gives me strength, I want to walk alongside people who are hurting and tell them that there's a Redeemer who loves them so much that He gave His life for them. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you working where you're working? How did you end up in that situation? Are you willing today to turn it over to God and to say, Lord, I want my labor to be obedience to You. I want my vocation to be service to my King. Whatever God's called you to do, you may be in the military, you may be a homemaker. There is not a higher calling than being a homemaker, by the way. You may be a carpenter. You may be a doctor. You may be an attorney. You may be selling widgets, or you may be making widgets. But whatever it is, you need to be doing it for the glory of God. And the marvelous thing is this, if you will do your work that way as unto the Lord, giving it your best for His honor and glory, then God will be glorified in what you do. And God will be pleased with what you do if you're doing it for Him. Now somebody may be listening to this and say, well, then I want to be the best bartender that there is for the glory of God. No, folks, there are some things that do not honor the Lord no matter how well you do them. If you're hoping to be the best assassin, the best terrorist, the best stripper, forget it. That's not going to honor God. And if you're in a job that you know is displeasing to the Lord, or if you're in a job that you believe requires you to be dishonest in order to do your job, you need to change careers. But if you are doing an honest job as unto the Lord, then don't be looking for the weekend so that you don't have to work. Be looking to the Lord to make your work something that honors Him. Ask God to show you how you can serve Him more effectively in that place. Not by preaching to everybody, whether they want to hear it or not, but by living the kind of life that reflects His joy, His peace, and might actually cause your coworkers somewhere down the line to say, "How come you're nice to me? I've never been nice to you. How come you did that for me when you could have just looked the other way? You didn't have to help me out." Look to your job, to your place of business, as your mission field. I've shared before on this program the story of the man who said to the famous evangelist Dwight L. Moody back in the 1800s, "I believe that God wants me to be a missionary overseas." Moody said, "What do you do for a living right now?" He said, "I'm a conductor on a train." Well, this was back in the day of steam locomotives, and Moody asked him, "What is the state of your coalman's soul?" Now, the coalman was the fellow who stood there and just shoveled coal all day to keep the fires going, to heat the water in the boiler, to give the steam locomotive its power. He said to the conductor, which was an elevated position, "What is the state of your coalman's soul?" The coalman being a lowly position who worked right next to the conductor. The conductor said, "Well, I have no idea." And Moody said, "Then you won't be any good on the mission field if you're not concerned about the soul of the person who works next to you. You won't serve the Lord well in a foreign land. It starts at home, folks. It starts under your own roof. It starts on the job. Wherever you may be, whatever you may do for a living, you need to view it as a mission field and as an opportunity for you to bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ by working not as men pleasers, but for the Lord. If you have a boss who asks you to compromise your faith, you need to remember that you answer to a higher authority, and you can't lie, and you can't defraud customers, you can't fudge the bookkeeping in order to satisfy your boss and keep your job. I know a young woman who was asked to do something dishonest for a Christian ministry, a denominational ministry, a missions agency of a denomination. She called her father, who was in pastoral ministry, and she said, "Daddy, I'm afraid we're going to get sued. My boss is asking me to type up his notes on this document, and it's plagiarism. What he's doing is plagiarizing another ministry's materials." And her father, to his everlasting shame, told her, "Well, honey, you just do what your boss says. It's not right for him to do that, but it's not your decision. All you're doing is typing it." Well, that was bad counsel from that pastor father. He should have said to her, "Darling, you need to quit, and you need to tell your boss's boss why. And that is because even if the man running that department doesn't have any integrity, you do." Folks, whatever you're doing, you need to do it as unto the Lord. You need to do it for His honor and glory. And if you can't, then you need to ask Him to show you what you need to be doing instead. Those are my thoughts on this Labor Day. I hope that they are an encouragement as well as a challenge. God bless you, and be sure and tune in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.